left off last week, we were talking about the malacha of tochein. Malacha of tochein, the issue of grinding, or we saw extended to cutting things into little pieces, perhaps cutting the vegetables, the salads, etc. So we saw that there was a major machlokes in Rishonim, whether there was an important leniency concerning this malacha, and that is the idea of doing things for immediate use. The notion of doing things for immediate use is a concept that we are familiar with from other malachas, particularly of borer. And the Rashba was of the opinion that we can carry over that kula to tochein as well. So according to the Rashba, if you cut up a vegetable, a cup of fruit, do any kind of act of tochein right before the meal, so that would be acceptable. Again, whatever right before the meal means, we spoke a lot about that in terms of borer. But according to the Rashba, the kula of immediate use would be acceptable for tochein as well. Another Rishonim question, but that's true, the Gemara doesn't mention it. We have no right to extrapolate the principle from one halacha to another, and therefore there would not be such a hefta. How do we pass the halacha? So we left it hanging a little bit last week. There are more nakel, there are more lenient on this question, and the Mishnah Berurah is not so sure. The Mishnah Berurah is not so convinced that we should be nakel, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes that we should probably recommend this as follows. If a person wants to cut up vegetables, the fruit, make a salad on Shabbos, so we should try to have two things in mind. Number one, we should always fall back on the Rashba, so do it right before the meal. But try not to cut the pieces too small. Because if you don't cut the pieces so small anyway, it's a problem with it anyway. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's hard to know. Is it big? Is it small? What exactly is the cutoff point for the malacha of tochein? So if you just try to make it a little bit bigger than usual, and you have the Rashba in the back pocket, so then one has a right to be making. So again, the Ramah Paschim straight out like the Rashba says, that's the credit, the Chashulchan follows, and others, the Shaburuch and the others, I'm not so sure that it should be so. Are there any cases of tochein that arise that the Rashba would not help us, that even the Rashba faculty can see too? So in the Sefer Egle Tal, written by the Sakhachar, the Abdinazah, so the Sefer Egle Tal suggests that maybe there are cases that even the Rashba would have to concede that la'alta, that doing things for immediate use, would not be helpful. There is a Gemara in the end of Masechah Shabbos that speaks about certain kinds of medication on Shabbos. We'll talk about that a little bit later, about the general prohibition of medication on Shabbos. But even on cases where, for whatever reason, it's permissible to do medication, so the Gemara says that one has to still be very, very careful not to be tochein. And the Gemara talks about cutting up, chopping up certain kind of herbs and spices that would be necessary to prepare medication, and even assuming that taking the medicine would be mutter for the person is considered to be enough of a chola to take medication. The Gemara says you have to be very careful not to do it in a way that would actually violate tochein. So the Gemara says you got to do it kileachayah, do it in an abnormal manner, a whole story, but how to avoid doing tochein. So ask the Egle Tal, I don't understand, if you're using the medicine for right now, so why is there tochein altogether? According to the Rashba, whatever is done for immediate use is automatically not called tochein. Why is that a violation of grinding? So says the Egle Tal, what you have to say is that the hefta, the leniency of doing things for immediate use is based on the principle of derech achila, that it's labeled as eating, it's part of the eating process. You always grind when we eat. You take a vegetable, you take a cucumber, you eat it, and chop it up in your mouth with your teeth, so you're also grinding. A new chomer, you can't chew your food on Shabbos. Don't tell you why, they said that one knows you never come back anymore. So the diavet shasachak, you can chew your food on Shabbos. So why is grinding for immediate use okay? So explain the Egle Tal, because then we view it as being part of the eating process. But when does that make sense? That's when we're actually sitting down and eating. If we're using something in a different context, we're not eating it, we're ingesting medication, we're not really eating the medication, so then you can't label the cutting, the chopping, the breaking, the grinding as part of the achila process, and therefore the entire kula of samuch l'suda will fall by the wayside. So it's an interesting insight that Egle Tal says, but it's very difficult to understand because of a throwback to something that we spoke about in the past about borer. We mentioned that the entire leniency of immediate use by tochein is really a continuation of the original kula by borer. The Gemara doesn't talk about it by tochein. The Gemara does talk about it by borer. And the Rash Pesebel, it's all the same thing. This is derech achila, that's derech achila. The problem is, by borer itself, we use the kula of immediate use even by non-foods. So we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, if a person wants to take a sefer, you have a whole bunch of piles of smart, you want to take a sefer out of the pile and use it, so why are you allowed to do that? Why isn't that a problem with borer? So the Yerucha Shulchan said, one approach to the Yerucha Shulchan was, the reason why that's permissible is because it meets all the criteria of borer. It's good from bad, it's with one's hands, and the most important one is it's for immediate use. We assume that we always do that. We do borer on these, we take you have a notebook, you draw, and you've got 40,000 pairs of socks. So you have to decide, any mini mani mo, which pair of socks you want to take. So you yank out a pair of socks. Why is that more terms? I'm burger. So that's just, yeah, that's not burger. I'm doing it with my hands, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing it for immediate use. That's okay. Immediate use, wait, stop, hold it. According to the Gemara, that the leniency of immediate use only makes sense in food context. Why does this kula apply to non-food context? How can we rely on this kula when it comes to burger? So the answer to this question is, I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to this question is. So the Avatal is an interesting riot, but it's more about cutting medicine. On the other hand, it seems to be the favorite that at least considering the law of the Bora, that everybody follows this. So I'm not really sure what the answer to that dilemma is.
It's not
the
yeah. The grinding of medicine, isn't that
what Caleb? So if you would do it with a clear Yuchalakach, that would for sure be a problem, but you could figure out. The Gemara says that the only way you have to, I don't even want to give you the sheener that the Gemara says how to do it. The doctors and the pharmacists, hygienists, please bear with me for a minute. But the Gemara says the best way to do it is put it in your mouth. So for somebody else. So if you want to prepare the medicine for the other guy, so then if you chew it up, so then that's pretty much going to happen. Okay, we won't comment on that.
But isn't it too small? Like he said, so the salads and
you're
not like chop it up too small. Okay. Medicine would be grounded to like a
powder. No. That's because you're not really accepting the Rashba. If you really believe like the Rashba, then the butter should be okay. So this sets the stage for the most relevant halacha l'maaseh aspect of our entire discussion. And that is some limitations on the Rashba and some potential limitations on the entire halacha of Tochein. And that is the following shaila. Everything we've been talking about in terms of Tochein, we've been talking about grinding up grain, making it to flour. That's the ultimate teichin. We've been talking about the Gemara's extension, at least most of the Shadr and Shukhara, about cutting up vegetables, cutting up fruit, etc. So we've been talking about grinding, we've been talking about cutting, but now we're talking about another term, and that's called mashing, l'rasek. Is that considered to be a problem of tochen or not? I take a banana, I have to mash up the banana. Is that a violation of tochen or not? So this was a major dispute between the Gedolei Olam, between the Chazanish and Rabbi Shefeinstein. So the Chazanish has a tremendous chumrah when it comes to cutting to mashing bananas. The Chazanish threw about three different chumras at us and came up, turned something that most people thought was Heter Gomer into Mamash HaShavanis and Deraisa. Comes the Chazanish and says, if you take a banana on Shabbos and you mash up that, you want to feed your kid a banana. So the Chazanish says it would appear to him that is an absolute Torah prohibition of Tochen. It's the ultimate malach of Tochen. Why is it Tochen? So the Chazanish, we're taking a big piece of a banana, and he's dashing it up now, it's a little piece of banana, so that Eiluch HaTochen will be Zeh. And now the Chazanish says, and if you want to know, in my heart of hearts, I don't even think we pass like the Rashba. The Rashba, the Chazanish claims, is really Nas Yochid, Avisham didn't quote, even the Ramah quotes it, but the Chazanish says, I don't really think that we follow the halacha of the Rashba. But even Naniach, those who want to argue, they want to play devil's advocate and support themselves based on the Rashba, I don't think, says the Chazanish, that the Rashba would apply here. Why not? Says the Chazanish, do you think that the Rashba would permit a person grinding the grain on Shabbos, as long as they want to eat it right away? Hayitochen can't be, says the Chazanish. You can't say that Tochet is mutal and gamre, but it's for immediate use. What did the Rashba mean? All the Rashba meant was that an act of cutting vegetables, that's what the Rashba was talking about, cutting fruit and vegetables. So an act such as cutting fruit and vegetables is almost a neutral act. It's very hard to know, what is this? Is this called toichen? Is this called just preparing lunch? So that's what the Rashba's chiddush was. Something which is not objectively toichen anyway, something which could really go either way. Taking a knife and cutting a cucumber, is that really toichen? Not really toichen? I don't know. Depends on context. So if it's in the context of immediate use, then it's part of the eating process. If it's being done for 10 hours from now, then it's called derech melacha. Barag is the chadish, something that is objectively derech melacha, something that it's not negotiable, not up for discussion. This is ein l'chateichen gola mizeh. So this is ein l'chateichen, this is the ultimate teichen, says the Chazanish. The ultimate teichen will be also under all circumstances, even according to the Rashba, even for immediate use. And therefore, all those chumras that the Chazanish said, he said that mashing is the same as teichen, and mashing is worse than teichen, because it's the ultimate teichen, and we don't even really call it the Rashba, and even if we did, it wouldn't help her anyway. Says the Chazanish, put the whole picture together, and therefore it's a skila, it's a skila to mash a banana, even for right away, to feed it to the baby in 2 minutes from now, that would be an outright isagam or argues the Chazanish. So just in case anybody has done this in the course of their lifetime, hang in there, we're going to come up with a kula. But that was the Chazanish's famous chumrah about mashing. It wouldn't only be true for bananas, it's true for mashing of avocados, mashing of potatoes, you name it. All mashing is the absolute worst case of teichen in the world, according to the Chazanish. But then the Chazish turns around and he says the following kumra. He says, I just told you a tremendous chumra that all of mashing is asur. Says the Chazish, here's the kula. If you want to do it kiliyachayad, if you want to do it in an abnormal fashion, then gusum tech, then it's okay. So all you can do is very simple. Just take the back of a spoon, take the back of a knife, take the back of a fork, something, and instead of doing it with a fork in a normal fashion, just chop it up kiliyachayad, and that becomes hetter gomer. That's the famous kula of the Chazdish. The Chazdish gave you a gewaltige chumra, and he turned around and gave you a tremendous kula. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes in his tshuvas, it's interesting, these original tshuvas were written up in the back of the sefer of Shimon Ida. Those who grew up in the 1970s will remember of Shimon Ida as a svarim. He was the first, really, of the English svarim, the very, very first to break through in terms of English halachas written on the typewriter, mamish on the typewriter. First he came out with his two blue volumes, remember, of Hilchos Shabbos. Then it came out with the 3 weeks, and it came out with Chanukah and Dalad Minim. I always say that Rav Shimon Ida was the one who set them and hugged him for all the camps and all the bungalow lives, all the 9 days. He said that he was kaveh, all the men hugged him, whatever his psakim, whatever the talmud for Moshe and Shem Kotler, so all the men hugged him that he had. He was kaveh all the standards for Hilchos Pesach and Klai Yisrael, all the 1970s and 1980s. It was kaveh the 3 weeks. It was kaveh how to buy a little vinesseric. Everything was all Adam Shabbat. Then in later years, more smart developed. But he was the first one. So in the back of the Sefer Hilchos Shabbos, he quotes a whole series of different correspondences that he had with Rav Moshe. He used to go to Rav Moshe, and when he asked him Shabbos, you know, step by step, and he would ask Rav Moshe different things. And then he would type them up in the back of the safe. Then later, the Chelik Dalan and Igros Moshe, all those responses were compiled together and put into Chivas Igros Moshe. But they originally said the Alpeh to Rav Shimon Ida. So Rav Shimon Ida had a discussion with Rav Moshe about the chopping of the bananas, the mashing of the bananas, and Rav Moshe responded that he thinks that mashing of bananas is Hetter Gomer on Shabbos. It's not a deraisa, it's not a derabbanan, not even a shayla, it's Hetter Gomer on Shabbos. Why? That's not called teichin altogether. Why is it not called teichin? Teichin means I take a big piece, I cut it into little pieces, like the grain. I take a big piece of grain, big piece of wheat, and I grind it up, and I got millions of little pieces of flour. Or I take a big cucumber, cut it up, little tiny pieces of cucumber. But if I take a banana, and I mash a banana, so what I have is a mush. I have one chefza for a mush of a banana. I can't say it any better than that. One mushy piece of banana. It used to be one banana that was long. Now I got one mushy banana. But up he did. It's the same piece, the same chaticha achas. And therefore that wasn't teichin altogether. So Ramesh says, unlike the Chazanish, you said this is the worst case of teichin under the sun. Says Ramesh, I don't think it's teichin altogether. And then Ramesh says, and even if them to learn me that it's teichin, the Rashba is still right. And you're allowed to do it for immediate use anyway. And why is this any worse than cutting the vegetables? Okay, Moshe thought it's better than cutting the vegetables, but even if you want to argue that it's the same as the vegetables, if the vegetables is mutter for immediate use, they should also be mutter. So Moshe says, I think legamre, mamish 180 degree different than the Chazdish. Chazdish held was an issa deraisa, and Moshe said it's hetter gomer. So then Moshe writes, and he says, according to the Chazanish, who really honestly believed that mashing bananas is also in the Torah, what kind of hetter is it to do it kaliyachayat? Since when do we find that doing things kaliyachayat becomes mutter? Doing things in an abnormal fashion, we've said this hundreds of times already, is also a derabbanan. Let's say, for example, a person carries in the street on Shabbos, not in the normal fashion, not in his pocket, not in his hand. He puts something inside his hat, puts something inside his sock. That's not a sure that's a good way of carrying. So comes the Mishnah and says that's only also a derabbanan. Well, let's say a person writes with his left hand. He's a righty. He writes with his left hand. That would only be also a derabbanan. If you do malachas in an abnormal fashion, it's not the araisa. It says the Ramosha, if the Hilchos Chazanish is right that mashing bananas is also in the Torah, what right do we have to say if you do it with the back of a fork, it's mutter? It should be also in the Rabbanan. How does skila become mutter l'chadchila just because you do it kiliyachayat? So Ramosha says, I don't understand the Chazanish mitchila v'yatzoif. I don't understand why the Chazanish asked it, and I don't understand if lefi devar that he asked it, why he was matter in the first place. So tachlis practically, what should we do, says Ramosha? If you would have asked me, I would have said, hetegom, you can mash things even for lady use. Not a chana. You can mash things. Mamash hetegom, there's no teichin at all. But Chazanish said it. Chazanish is not poisek ador. Chazanish said it, so we can't just take it lightly. So therefore, Moshe says we should defer to the Chazanish's psach. But now Moshe turns it on 10. He says, we should defer to the Chazanish's psach, But we don't have to be more machmir than the Chazanish himself. Pesha also a Pesha hit there. So the Chazanish was the one who asked the mashing. He was the one who was master at Kiliachayad. So said, Ramosha, that's what we should do. We should tell everybody they should mash things on the Kiliachayad. Even though Ramosha says, quite frankly, I don't understand why that should be mutter. But I don't understand what it does in the first place. So Ramosha said, if you ask me, so if you live in the Lower East Side and you wonder what I think, says Ramosha, I think the whole thing is mutter was never shown in the first place. You want to be chayshish for Bnei Brak, then it's also. You don't have to be more chayamachmir than the people in Bnei Brak themselves. So it comes out that whether you live in Bnei Brak or you live on the FDR Drive, at the end of the day, we would not want you to be mashing bananas or avocados or potatoes, anything. Nothing, no mashing should be taking place in Shabbos. But according to the Chazanish, it was Shalom Shem Derais. According to Ramosha, it was just out of cover of the Chazanish. And both of them came to the same conclusion that do Kiliachayad, it's okay. The Chazanish came to that conclusion because he really believed Kiliachayad was a real matir. Sometimes it is a matir. And Ramosha said he didn't really think Kiliachayad does all that much. But since the Chazanish advocated doing it, so he agrees as well. So therefore, halach l'maisa, that's what we tell people to do. So practically speaking, if a person wants to mash something on Shabbos, so they should mash it, they should do it, they should do it Kiliachayad.
Do like hakla versus eggs or tuna first?
Oh, very good, excellent. So we had mentioned that there's a Tumas Hadeshin that says that the malacha of tochen, at least as it relates to foods, doesn't apply to non-gigulei karka. So we treat for these purposes eggs as non-gigulei karka, and chicken and meat, all these things, as non-gigulei karka. Therefore, one can't cut those things. The only thing is that one should not use a kli amiyuchel lekak. One should not use a grinder, because a grinder is what's called udu d'chol. That's like a very weekdayish kind of activity. And udu d'chol is always off limits. So therefore, say if you want to mash up a tuna fish or something, so you shouldn't take one of those choppers or something. You just take a fork or something, and that the fork does the job, not as great a job, it's not a miyuchel kach. So that would be acceptable. So again, so we have the basic malach of tochen, the deraisas, the tochen we spoke about, as it relates to cutting foods, as it relates to ein tochen achat tochen, as it plays out in terms of for immediate use, relation chazanish, all the different nuances in terms of malach of tochen. And now this sets the stage for really our, not our next malacha, but our next major topic, which is an extension of the malacha of Teichin. The most famous Gezeirah d'Rabbanan, the decree of d'Rabbanan that was made to prevent people from violating Teichin, and that was the issue of medication on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So the Mishnayos tell us in the 14th parable of Shabbos, and Chazal made it across the board, a Gezeirah, that one should not be taking medicine on either Shabbos and Yom Tov, because since the normal way of preparing medicine was through cutting up, grinding herbs in the backyard. So that's what's called the gzeir mishum shchikas samavon. Shechachtem imen means to chop up. Shechachtem imen hadeik. So shchikas samavon. Samavon means like the herbs. So a person who's going to prepare medicine on Shabbos may very well be in violation of mitzvah deraisa. So therefore, even if your particular medicine was made beforehand, it's still prohibited by the Rabbanan. And it's clear that Chazal prohibited all kinds of medicines, even those medicines that are not included in grinding up grains. If you have a liquid kind of medicine, so that's also prohibited. So all medicines across the board are low plug. Medicines are also in Shabbos and Yom Tov. There are certain extenuating circumstances that they're mutter, certain kinds of cholim. We'll talk about that as we go on. But the issur exists. The basic prohibition of taking medicines was instituted by Chazal. The Mishnah is explicit to this effect. And the Gezeirah was made primarily as a Gezeirah unto the Malacha of Tochen. So the first major question that we have to raise concerning this Gezeirah, the application, is does this Gezeirah even apply this manazet? Is there reason to believe that this Gezeirah maybe is not enforced anymore? Why in the world should we think this Gezeirah is not enforced? Because the original reason for the Gezeirah pretty much doesn't apply. Most people today, if you have a headache and you want to take a Tylenol, so you go into the cabinet and take out Tylenol, take a Tylenol. Whereas the last thing you do is go to your backyard and look for an herb and start grinding with your mortar and pestle to make yourself medicine. So maybe one could argue that baba tam, that the whole reason for the Gezeirah doesn't exist anymore, if the whole Gezeirah falls by the wayside. So that is probably not correct, because we assume halacha, batla tam, lo batla Gezeirah. When it comes to Gezeirah's derabanan, so just because the reason itself doesn't apply, that in and of itself is not a cause to believe that the Gezeirah doesn't apply anymore. Very often the reason doesn't apply. Batal hatam, lo batal hagezeirah. However, even though batal hatam, lo batal hagezeirah, it would give the leeway for a further bezdin, for a later bezdin, potentially to be makil, to be matir this gezeirah, if they would choose to do so. I'm not saying that they did so, but it potentially would open up the possibility of revoking this gezeirah. Generally speaking, when we talk about canceling, abolishing gezeirahs, it's very, very tricky business to try to change a din derabanan. The Gemara tells us that in order to change the din derabanan, you have to have a beis din agodol b'chachma v'minyan. You have to have a later basin that's greater than the original basin that enacted it in the first place. How do you measure whether it's greater than Chochmah? Okay, figure out. Sometimes it's obvious. How do you measure Minyan? Minyan is the same 71 Dayanim. So the Rambam writes that Minyan means how many Talmidim were around, how many people accepted the Gezerah, how much did this Gezerah permeate Klal Yisrael. So that's called the Chochmah of a Minyan. So Chochmah is not so simple because usually we assume that there's a Yeridus and Doros. So the basin that made the Gezerah 500 years ago is probably greater than this basin. So it's not so easy always to make that call whether we have a later basin that's going to actually go b'chokhmah of Minyan. So that's usually going to be a big problem. Whenever we want to abolish gezeiros, we're going to run into the brick wall of having a basin that goes b'chokhmah of Minyan. Interesting, the Rambam quotes from the Yerushalmi that requirement of goes b'chokhmah of Minyan only applies to bittul dinim derabbanan. Let's say you have a shalom deraisa, so a certain basin passed in the shalom deraisa, and then a later basin, 500 years from now, thinks, you know what? We think that that's not the shalom in the deraisa. We think that kavachomer, that the earlier basin in the darshan is probably not correct. We have a kash in the kavachomer, and they want to overturn the din deraisa, not din derabon. They want to overturn the din deraisa. So we would have thought that intuitively that, wait a second, to override a din deraisa, it's even more chomer, it's even stricter. You got to be a higher level. So the Yerushalmi says, no, it's counterintuitive. That to override a din deraisa, you do not have to be a based in Gobel Chokhmah. You have to be a based in. So if there was a based in a Gobel Kapaskin 500 years ago or something, and now a later based in wants to overturn it, they think that we dash in the Pasuk a little bit differently. We have a different way of understanding the Gobel Chokhmah. That's fine. That's okay. Aim the Cholashev, it should be a Mechel. You have to follow the based in each and every generation. When it comes to Dinim Derabbanan, then the opposite is true. When it comes to Dinim Derabbanan, once the Beis Din enacts something, then that becomes law that's written in stone and can only be overturned by Beis Din of Gol B'chachma of a Minyan. So normally to uproot Gezeiras Derabbanan is not such a simple business. So let's say there was a Gezeira made. Which Beis Din made the Gezeira against medicine? We have no idea. 99% of the time, we have no idea which Gezeira was made by any given Beis Din. The Mishnayos and the Braises quote hundreds and thousands of Dinim Derabbanan instituted. They were all instituted between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of Rabbi Danasi. That's a span of 1,600-1,700 years. So we have no idea who made the Gezeira. Was it a Beis Din of Yeshua that made it? Was it Ezra's Beis Din? Was it David Melech's Beis Din? Was it Ezra's Beis Din? We have no clue. 99% of the time we have no clue. Every once in a while, the Gemara will fill us in and say, oh, David Melech's Beis Din made this, and Shlomo Melech's made this, and Ezra made this, and Shmuel made this, and Yeshua made this, Moshe Rabbeinu made this. The Gemara will sometimes fill us in and start with some information who made the Gezeiras, but most of the time the Gemara doesn't bother to do it. Why doesn't the Gemara tell it to us? But not, the Gemara is not a course in Jewish History 101. It's not really relevant. Most of the time it's irrelevant who made the Gezeirah. Rambam writes in his introduction to Perashat Mishnayos that there's no difference whatsoever between a Gezeirah that was made by Yehoshua ben Nun and a Gezeirah that was made by the Beis Din of Rav Ashi. Even though Yehoshua ben Nun was the Tav Reboshet, he was a Novi, and he was writing Svarim of Nach, doesn't make a difference. In terms of the koach of making a Gezeirah, the Beis Din of Rav Ashi had the same power, the same authority as the Beis Din of Yeshua. So most of the time we have no clue which particular Beis Din was goes or anything. We have no idea which Beis Din made the Gezeirah that you can't take medicine. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu it didn't exist, because it's not a Din Deraisa. By the time there are Tanoim around, it's prevalent throughout the Mishnayos. So in that span of 1,700 years, some Beis Din made the Gezeirah. So how in the world are we going to be, okay, that Gezeirah? How are we going to take that Gezeirah? How are we going to abolish that Gezeirah? We have no idea. We're not greater b'chachmah of a minyan than that given Beis Din. So there is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, when you have a gezeirah that anyway the reason doesn't apply. L'maisa, the reason doesn't apply. So then some mishnayim say that you don't need a gezeirah b'chachmah of a minyan anymore. Then you can get away with even less than chachmah. That's the Ravid sheet. The Rambam disagrees even with that. So in theory, if we'd want to, we could somehow get together a Beis Din HaGadol today, which is probably not happening until Yimos HaMashiach, if we can get together a Beis Din HaGadol, so then we could probably, possibly, revoke that Gezeirah. But the bottom line, it hasn't happened. Nobody that we know of has done that. Some people have suggested the idea, but no one's actually done it. And therefore, this Gezeirah was never touched. So the Gezeirah is still in full force. Is there any reason to believe that maybe this Gezeirah will disappear by itself? Even though we haven't officially revoked it, so it doesn't sound that way, because we pass in Batla Tam Batla Gezeirah. Are there any times when that rule is not true? Are there any exceptions to that rule? So there is a Tshuvas HaRosh that may be a beginning of a Pesach to possibly discuss that this Gezeirah not applying anymore. The Rosh has a fascinating discussion. The Rosh describes that there's a din midrabbanon that Chazal instituted that you're not allowed to wear tzitzis if you have a linen bag. In Minat Torah, if you have a four corner linen garment, then you have to put tzitzis on the tchelas wool, the whole home, right? And you have to fulfill the mitzvah of tchelas, even at the expense of violating Shabbos. The Gemara says, yeah, that's the din Minat Torah, that even though I'm wearing linen, I put on the wool. Tchelas has to be wool, not just blue, it has to be blue wool. So I'm allowed to violate Shabbos in order to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. So Chazal were very, very weary about following that din Minat Torah, because they were concerned that if you let a person put on wool on his linen beged, sometimes he may put it on to got him that a potter from tzitzis, and maybe the shat, maybe the tchelas won't be authentic tchelas. There's a whole bunch of different reasons that maybe it's not such a good idea. And therefore, mid the rabbanon, they made a gezeira and said, you know what? If you're wearing a linen beged, don't put strings on it. This is the rabbanon to put the strings on your linen beged. So that's the din. You read the Gemara as a menachas and Shabbos, it's explicit. That's what we pass it. The Rosh writes that when he arrived later in life to Spain, so he saw that the people in Spain were wearing linen begadim, and they were wearing tzitzis on the linen begadim. He couldn't figure it out. He said he grew up in Germany. In Germany, nobody did such a thing. He came to Spain, all of a sudden, the Rabbanim were permitting people to walk around in gross violation, flagrant violation of this gezeira with the Rabbanim. What was going on? So the Rosh writes, he thought about it, and then he realized the stum of the reason was as follows. That we know for a fact that the reason why Chazal made the gezeira was because it's going to mix up things in terms of tcheles. People are going to wear the wrong tcheles, they're going to wear tcheles at the time they don't have to wear tcheles. All kinds of things could go wrong. Everything was revolving around tcheles. Says the Rosh, we don't have tcheles anymore. The Rosh says, nobody in Spain has tcheles, but in Germany has tcheles. We haven't had tcheles for hundreds of years, says the Rosh. So since we don't have tcheles anymore, why the gezeira? Bottle ha'tam, bottle ha'gezeira. Wait a second. But that's not the din. The din is that Batla Tam lo Batla Gezeira. So why is the Rosh saying such a trap? So the Rosh explains in his tshuva that when do we say Batla Tam, Batla Gezeira? That's when it's not absolutely clear what the reason for a Gezeira was. We think the reason was for this, so then we have to be very, very weary. Just because the reason doesn't apply, maybe the din still applies. But if Chazal spelled out, Mamish explicitly, this is the reason why you can't do X, Y, and Z, we know exactly why it's asur. If the reason doesn't apply, then the din doesn't apply. Finished. So the whole sugya batla tam batla gezeira is batla, doesn't really apply. I mean, that sugya only applies when it's not absolutely clear. But when it's clear as day, explicit in the Gemara, what the reason for X, Y, and Z is, so then if the reason doesn't apply, so then the whole thing, the whole din, the rabban falls by the wayside. So you don't need a beis din to be batla. You don't need anybody. It just disappears on its own. That was the Rosh's limitzchos for the people in Spain. So some of the Acharonim picked up on this Tshuvas HaRosh and they said, wait a second, according to this Tshuvas HaRosh, this may be very, very helpful in terms of this Gezeira, in terms of taking medicine. We know exactly why Chazal prohibited taking medicine in Shabbos. The Gemara says, why? Mishum Shechikas Samamonim. You look around, nobody's been shoving Samamonim, nobody's grinding up herbs with Manazeh. So maybe we have a right to invoke this Rosh and say, since the whole reason for the Gezeira was because of X, Y, and Z, and we know that X, Y, and Z is irrelevant today, so we don't need a bit like Gezeira, we don't need another basin to cancel the Gezeira, it just disappears into thin air all by itself. So maybe we have a right to declare that the Isser, this Isser, everything we're talking about now, doesn't exist anymore. So some Achronim threw out this idea as a possibility. I don't think anybody from Mamish said it, but there's one of the Sifri Halacha that was written in generations ago was a Sefer Tzelsa Shulchan written by Reb Chaim Noah. Chaim Noah was a Goyen Oyler who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the same time as the Chazon Ish. He was the one who disagreed with the Chazon Ish on a lot of things in terms of Kedayis and Beitzes and Tefachim and Amos. A lot of the Shirum of the Chazon Ish, and he was arguing with Reb Chaim Noah. So in his Sefer, Tzelsa Shulchan, so he has a 50-page piece about this, trying to say that maybe one could argue that this Gezeira doesn't apply anymore. And a lot of the discussion revolves around the parameters of this Tshuvas HaRosh. Loch HaLemaisa, we don't really accept this. Even if Tzelsa Shulchan himself wasn't really sure, he threw it out as a possibility, but at the end of the day, we probably don't accept this idea. Therefore, Shulchan Aruch, no mention is made of this. In the Ramon, no mention, but in the Ramon, nobody, the earlier, the Dolei Apostle in Shulchan Aruch, nobody makes any mention of this gula. Even though there's almost a parallel mention, there's a famous Tosis in Beitza that says that even though the Mishnah says in Beitza, you're not allowed to dance, you're not allowed to clap, you're not allowed to do anything on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because we're afraid you make up to fix a musical instrument. So Tosis writes that today people are very lenient about this. We dance, we clap, people do these kinds of things, because most people don't know how to fix musical instruments anyway, and therefore the Gezeira doesn't apply. What do you mean the Gezeira doesn't apply? But Batla Tam, Batla Gezeira. So the answer is, probably like this Rosh. And here Chazal singled out that this is the reason, so we know for 100% sure what the reason is, then we're allowed to just cancel the gezeirah when the reason doesn't apply. So that Tosfos made it into Shulchan, not the Rambam quotes. Many, many people rely on that Tosfos. Some people don't like to rely on it, many people don't like to clap, don't like to dance on Shabbos, but many, many people rely on that. Everybody relies on that, and you have to share it from the Torah. That's the Midrash Yisrael, was to rely on that from the Torah. Even though in regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, we probably wouldn't be too excited about relying on that. So there is such a remnant, there is such a zeich of that idea that sometimes gezeiros become bafel, but the medicine gezeiros is not mentioned. All needed by Muhammad, nobody in the classic poskim mentions this. And therefore, the halach lemaisa, we assume that the gezeiros is still in full force. So a person cannot take the attitude, I'm taking all medicine, shalom is okay. That's not really accepted by halacha. What we can do is, we have some shilas that come up in terms of medicine, so maybe we can be a little bit more lenient this matter then. Maybe we could say, like, in our back pocket, that if it's mutter for some other reason, and we're not 100% sure, so maybe we can be mitzaref. This Tosa Shulchan is a little bit of a sniff of hope, so that already poskim are willing to negotiate. But just to take the attitude that the whole thing doesn't exist, lock, stock, and barrel, so that's not really correct. But to look at shilas that come up in terms of the details, the intricacies of taking medicine, to look at it through the eyes a little bit more makil, based on the social, and that perhaps we do have a right to do. Hopefully, Beit Hashem, the next week we'll have to discuss a little bit some of those intricacies, some of those detailed shilas that come up, and try to see how this plays out, halacha l'maaseh, in terms of this issue, which again is ultimately all part of the halacha.